He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys. Maybe you can drop my
call. Hello to this week's show of Car Keys with Jay DeMarkin and Robin Leach as the co-hosts. For our listeners this week, one of the topics I'd like to bring to your ears is the blossoming, rising prices of the mid-size pickup truck market. I will say that this is brought to my attention by the whopping price, new price for the new Toyota 24 Dakota, Toyota Tacoma pickup trucks. I'm looking at one that is called the Tacoma Toyota Tacoma TRD, which is a base price of $65,395 for this particular model. Now, there are some Tacoma 2024 Tacomas out there in the 40s, but what's happening is this is going through the whole midsize market, including the Fords and the Chevys, the yet-to-be-discovered Stellantis Dodge ones, which I think are in the design stage and going to be showing up in the marketplace in the next 2 years or so. But pickup trucks, the large pickup trucks have long been available in base markets at under $50,000. I'm not sure what you get for those base model lines as far as standard equipment. But as I've been reading about this Toyota 2024 Toyota Tacoma TRD, which is an off-road version of the Ford Raptor version of the midsize Ford pickup truck, it just comes to mind as manufacturers remodel particular car or truck lines, and they add special products into these lines with generally much higher prices for these special models. Are they expecting to sell a large number of them?
Yes,
Jay, any comment?
Yes, they are, or else they wouldn't be doing it. I think the market is there, although, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think we did talk about it briefly a few weeks ago, truck sales, pickup truck sales, are down a little bit relative to last year. And I don't have the data right in front of me, but there is a softening of the large pickup truck market. And you're right, because a lot of them are hitting the $100,000 mark. But, you know, the $65,000 Tacoma TRD Pro is you know, on the upper end of the Tacoma range, and it is an off
and it's the top end. We don't have the upper. It's the top end.
We see that with every line of vehicles. You know, top ends, the prices go up. And, yes, you get a lot more amenities than in lower, you know, in base models. But, you know, hey, people who drive trucks are allowed to get amenities too, and if they want to pay for it, so be it. That's the way I see it.
Well, it's certainly interesting to watch the mid-sized truck market rise in prices. The Ford Raptor equivalent base level is at $57,000 and change, and the Chevrolet Colorado ZR2 is at a base level of $48,400 and change, $17,000 less than the Toyota TRD, as we've been discussing.
Yeah, and you know, we know that Ford and the Ram models in their high-end pickup trucks like to make a lot of noise, and they're fast, very fast. But guess what? What's even faster now is a Rivian electric truck, and it's very quiet and getting the job done, and we see more and more of them on the road. And
true.
So we're back to that bigger discussion of where the truck market and the car market are going as far as, you know, whether we're going with internal combustion engines, electric vehicles, or in often cases going hybrid. And hybrid is probably the way to go with pickup trucks. And by the way, the new Tacoma, the most, I don't know if it's the most powerful. I think they don't add a lot of power, but the highest model in the Tacoma range comes with a hybrid powertrain package.
It's going to be available, available. But that's true.
Yeah, and that's what Toyota does. They're very good at building hybrids.
Toyota's way ahead of the rest of the producers in the hybrid model range of cars.
Why don't, Robin, tell us a little bit about your road trip, because you actually, and I had asked you about this when you got back a week or two ago, you crossed, did a good chunk of the country from west to east in a Toyota hybrid, if I'm correct.
Correct, right? And good segue into this. recently I had the occasion to drive a family member or co-drive with a family member. A 2014 Toyota Highlander, which is not the latest version of the vehicle, from Colorado to New York State, and we did it in 3 or 4 days. I think it was 4 days. It was wonderful driving this vehicle. This vehicle's got 195,000 miles on it at the end of the trip, so this is not a new vehicle. It is a hybrid version. The hybrid version of this vehicle doesn't have a selected gear range in its transmission. It's a CVT. The highest miles per gallon range for a tank full of gas, because I took notes on most of it, was a tank full in which we got 31.5 miles per gallon. And these were at speeds ranging from coming out of the Denver area to cruising at 75, occasionally 80, for that particular tank full of gas. Now, here's the technical interesting part of it. Denver, of course, is the Mile High City, so we were at 5,280 feet above sea level range. At the high altitude cities in this country, regular grade gasoline, which is what we use in this vehicle, is 85 octane rated, and you have to go back up to the 87 rating as you get lower and lower in elevation above the sea. But back to that mileage, most of that that drive was a good portion of the first part. It was maintained at a mile high elevation, but it was going downhill. So I can justify the 31.5 range being a going downhill situation boost to the mileage that reduced itself down to, I would say, a low of 25.7 miles per gallon as we got down towards sea level, and we're still maintaining highway travel speeds of between 70 and 80 miles an hour. I consider this for the Highlander, for anybody who knows the Toyota car or truck range or SUV range, is a fairly big, heavy car. Plus, we were loaded with luggage. So aside from the battery pack and the size of the vehicle, we had probably several hundred pounds, under 500 pounds of luggage that we were carrying back with us. So that was a very interesting sort of test of the hybrid situation. So we were getting up to 500 miles range before we really thought we needed to refuel. That's pretty good for a vehicle of that size.
So did you, speaking of, you know, going cross country, and we're getting close to the summer season, and a lot of people get antsy and want to go and travel the country and drive around. What roads did you travel?
We traveled interstate roads. But along with this trip, what was notably absent in some of the barren stretches of Kansas and all that were electric vehicles. The ones we saw were almost, I would say, 98% or maybe 100% were Teslas. Teslas are easy to spot. I won't say that we might have missed some of other electric vehicles like Kias or Hyundais, but we did not see anything but Teslas out in the long stretches of some of these roads we were in. And we were in Kansas, we were in Pennsylvania, we were in, I can't remember the states, I should know.
Midwest.
Denver, of course.
Iowa, Illinois.
Iowa, we were in Iowa as well.
In a disorder, not necessarily in that order, but.
That's right. So, but we did see a number of, hybrid versions of the electric gas fossil fuel car range, and a lot of them were, I will say, Toyotas. They are also easiest, in my opinion, to spot in the hybrid model range because of the badging of these vehicles on their rear, mostly on the rear of the cars as you see them go by you or you come up behind them. But the electric cars were far and few between. Interestingly, say, when we gassed up at gas stations, and sometimes they were truck stops and all that, charging ports were not easily found or seen at these stops in the Midwest area or the western part. They may have been there. I did not go looking for them, but they were not. Usually when you stop at a rest stop, you stop sort of more or less in front of the building you're going to go into after you've gassed up to get other supplies and if there's a space to park near them.
So
the charging stations were not either evident at all or they were not easily spotted.
You should actually park far away from the building and walk and exercise when you're on the long trip. Every couple or
very good
hours.
Health note, Jay.
Well, it's important. So
let's move on to something else.
Sure.
I heard on the radio on this morning's show broadcast date a discussion about it was all about the Chinese market of car makers versus Tesla in the discussion range of what was doing well in China. And other than BYD, which is Build Your Dream, I can think of all other things for BYD. Tesla is apparently still, after a brief run in second place behind BYD, back in the number one total electric vehicle, sole electric vehicle production company in that country. BYD is the number one manufacturer in the hybrid range. I guess they're producing a whole lot of new hybrid vehicles. They unveiled a number of cars. It's not worth discussing it for the listeners here because they are not yet in the U.S. that I know of. But the whole thing is with the whole discussion was about Tesla's apparent continuing dominance as the highest selling vehicle in China. But the problem with the BYD entrance into the market is, of course, it's much less expensive to build Chinese electric vehicles of any kind that might soon become exported to our country if allowed to get in at all, and what that might do to suppressing the attempt of higher priced electric vehicles as produced by the European manufacturers and Tesla in the U.S. Being able to maintain sales paces that would be happy if BYD came in with electric vehicles. Maybe even hybrid vehicles that were, if not tariffed upward by import regulations, lower than what the U.S. and European manufacturers can produce these vehicles at. That's about it for the Chinese auto show market report on this.
Well,
show.
I think Tesla and BYD are gonna remain the major players in the electric market for in the years to come on the world stage, and you know, let's face it, Tesla has done pretty well at selling and producing cars not only here in the U.S. but in China, in Europe. So they've actually, you know, they are still in a pretty good position. We may or may not like Mr. Musk, and I think his behavior has affected it. Demonstrated that Musk's attitude has cost Tesla sales, but they seem to be recovering. The new Model 3 is really a good-looking car. It's
You've
interesting
seen it.
To know that Tesla upgraded the looks of the 3
that is true.
Before they even changed the looks of the Model S, which is a much older model, which is probably about 5 years older than the Tesla Model 3. But, as we know, the 3 is important. I think the Y is a better selling vehicle, but Robin, we never discussed this. I'm jumping to something else now. A few weeks ago, and I've mentioned it here on the show, I had the opportunity to ride as a rear passenger in an Uber in a autonomous Model 3.
Oh yes,
and I've told you that it was pretty cool. And you reacted immediately, so I you know, we can have this conversation again on how you feel about autonomous vehicles.
I forget whether or not there was a driver there in case something went on. Was it totally driverless?
No. Of course there was a driver behind the wheel, and there should be. The driver was actually probably not very used to the system, and this Uber driver had it was a brand new car. She had a 1 month free membership to the autopilot, which
right.
she did not plan on paying the $6,000 for. So I was also surprised that the price of the autopilot was down from $12,000 to $6,000.
Well, I don't know whether that's actually true or not, because I read recently an article in another magazine that said it was absolutely atrocious in their opinion, not the world opinion, to pay $12,000, and that was the figure they used. So either that was an old article that has not been updated with a price reduction, or Tesla is making price reduction possibilities made known to users of new buyers of cars. But they said, what is the reason for it? It's not well enough developed, and why should you go and pay $12,000 once you get a 1 month free subscription to it at this juncture? That was their opinion. And they obviously don't think $12,000 or maybe even $6,000 is worth paying for that kind of thing. Since you rode in it and you saw it operate and you were probably fairly impressed by it, do you think it's a worthy idea to charge an option for such a package that is really yet to be known to be the top method of having your car drive autonomously in this world today?
You know, honestly,
the listeners
are
just listening to us with rapt attention, I'm sure, about this discussion.
It's a marketing question, and you can either build it. Obviously, the technology is built in the car, right? If they can give you the subscription for free, it means that it basically, quote unquote, costs them nothing to
put it in,
which it does. But you've actually already paid for it.
Apparently.
Because
the car's coming with it for the free
subscription. Are paying for all the ones who have it and decide not to use it.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think the price will go down, and at some point, the price will go down and the technology will get even better.
How much autonomous driving actually occurred while you were in it? Were you able to tell?
Well, it was a 5 to 10 minute drive. In Greensboro, North Carolina. So it's a medium-sized city. It was at night. There was traffic, but no rain. So, but the car stopped at stop signs. It stopped at stoplights. It quote unquote looked left and right, and engaged on when it did not have the right of way. Engaged only when there was no traffic coming.
So it was fairly accurate.
It was very accurate. And arguably the hardest conditions. I mean, it was city driving at night. I thought it was pretty impressive.
So the programmers are making improvements in whatever the failure rate was at the other issues earlier on in this attempt at launching an autonomously capably driving car, which was having trouble with emergency vehicles. And we discussed this in earlier shows, listeners. And my theory, which still was, I don't know, maybe it's been corrected, was that maybe the flashing lights on the emergency vehicles was confusing the cameras and all that, the electronic stuff that Teslas are known to be using for their self-driving capability, which caused them to not perform correctly in those particular instances in which there were accidents.
Well, and we've talked about this before too, a while back. Yes, the Tesla got quote unquote confused, but so do all drivers actually driving cars have these ex- exact same problem as the autonomous.
Well, yours truly on this show can be included in that because the number of flashing lights on police vehicles has increased significantly with some of these newer systems. Plus, they are strobe lights. They are red, white, orange, blue, and apparently the operators of these emergency vehicles have options on how these lights operate. So it's not just a question of learning one operational system because there seem to be variances in the programmable features of these lights, which and at nighttime they are extremely blinding. Jay, you know that too, especially when the oncoming police vehicle that's got a car stopped is facing you, and their high beams are on, and they've got all these strobe lights going, and it's a two-lane road only, so there's not a lot of horizontal distance between you and the cars you're going by.
I experienced that last night. I was coming back up middle of the night, around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, north of 684 and Route 22, coming back towards our neck of the woods, and there were multiple police vehicles pulling people over. And yes, it is blinding, and it is a problem, and there have been studies about this, and solutions seem to be slow in coming. But anyway, not much we can do about it.
Okay, what do you have for safety? Are we coming up? What was our timeline?
Well, we've been talking about safety. I've been looking at data on crashes here in Connecticut over the last few years. The number of fatalities is still the same, relatively speaking. The numbers have not moved a lot, and we're still finding the same stats. 20% of the fatalities are due to impaired driving. So obviously, alcohol remains a huge problem behind the wheel. But, you know, what can we do about it? I mean, there's not much deterrent. You're not getting pulled over unless you're speeding. So we're really, I don't see much law enforcement, looking at traffic behavior. All the enforcement I see, and I drive quite a bit, and you do too, is people being pulled over for speeding. And it usually
I agree. We have noted on this show, and you noted it most recently on a couple of editions of this show, the craziness of people driving without proper lighting on in dusk and dark conditions, ranging from trying to drive with daytime running lights showing the road ahead for those drivers to no headlights, and in some cases no parking lights on the vehicles at well after sundown. And how difficult it is to drive comfortably, safely on some roads when you don't know whether or not you're going to see a car coming up behind you, blacked out, so to speak, when other cars are having their headlights on and this blacked out car is sort of hidden in the dazzling light of the cars behind them.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned headlights again, and I was trying to talk more about impaired driving, but again, last night, I was driving a relatively new Lexus SUV, and I had the dimmer, an auto dimmer on for the lights, and it works pretty well.
Yes, it works, you do.
And the Lexus, I've seen cars where I think it works even a little better, but overall it works well. But what I was surprised, is that people were flashing their lights at me even though my lights were dimmed. And I thought, okay, this is one of these cars where, you know, modern lights are just way too powerful and in your face. And I'm
right.
Sure they're set the way they're supposed to set. It's a pretty, like I said, brand-new car. It's got 20,000 miles. I have no reason to believe that the lights are not properly adjusted. And yet, like a half a dozen times over, you know, going down...
You got flashed.
I got flashed. You know,
well,
people flashing
that happens to me with pickup trucks that are laden down in the back. And I thought they had self-leveling lighting systems in place in pickup trucks. They really need to because some of the Ford pickups have... four headlights going, and it looks like they're high beams, or they're in high beam range, and you go by them and you see the pickup bed is laden with something, which means the front end is tilting upward, I guess. And they are notably very, very disruptive to me, and I'm sometimes often seen flashing them, trying to get them dim, and they don't. And then they hit their high beam switch briefly, and you see the lights go even higher.
So, back to safety and other topics.
Yeah.
And we're you know, spring going into summer all of a sudden, and you know, we're going to see more bicycles on the roads. Pedestrians. We've had pedestrians all along. And in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about pedestrian crossings. And Mike actually barged in, or maybe it was after the show that we talked about how annoyed we can get with some of these pedestrian crossings. But as drivers, let's keep our eyes peeled. Give cyclists a lot of room.
Some of them wobble.
Some people wobble when they walk. I mean, I'm not trying to assign blame. I'm just saying let's do our part as drivers and give them plenty of space. And
well,
the law,
especially on two-lane country roads,
go over the center line to give cyclists space. That's my
correct
tip of the day. Thanks for listening.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.